Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. Two Warriors players tested positive for the coronavirus and had to sit out the first day of training camp. I'll tell you why that matters. Plus, Steph Curry is eligible to sign a three-year extension, but it's not as much of a sure thing as you might think.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, we start today with the news that both Draymond Green and James Wiseman missed the first day of training camp Monday after testing positive for the coronavirus. Now, we knew things like this were going to happen with players coming back to the Bay after being away doing whatever that they were doing for months. But to lose two guys who are so important to the Warriors' goal of building a top 10 defense is really unfortunate. Because they missed the first day of training camp, they're going to have to go through 10 to 12 days of self-quarantining. They're going to have to test negative for the coronavirus twice. They're going to have to be cleared by a team and a league official. They have to jump through all of these hoops just to get back onto the court. And this training camp was so crucial for this Warriors team. A Warriors team that had not played together in 9 months. Now, yeah, they had those little mini workouts in September, October, but James Wiseman wasn't a part of that. Kelly Oubre wasn't a part of that. Draymond Green wasn't a part of that. Right? So those mini workouts, nice as they were, didn't really count for much. And most of that stuff was just casual sort of on-court work. It wasn't implementing new schemes. It wasn't doing all these things. And so Steve Kerr has stated that the goal is to build a top 10 defense. Well, you know who's going to be important to that goal is Draymond Green. And I want to talk about James Wiseman here in a little bit and how this is detrimental to his development. But with Draymond missing training camp, that is somebody who would be such a valuable resource to these young players, to guys like Wiggins and Oubre, who need as much coaching as they can get. Draymond Green is the anchor of that defense. So yeah, he's got the high basketball IQ. You might not be worried about Draymond needing time to pick up these new schemes, and they are implementing new schemes. Schemes that even Draymond Green hasn't played in Golden State, okay? So I'm not worried about how quickly he can understand and get the new concepts. He'll be able to do that really fast, but he's the anchor of this defense. And not having him to work around and work with is going to hurt the defense as a whole. Because they don't have time to figure it out during the regular season. They start the season against Brooklyn. Then they play it in Milwaukee. 10 of the first 14 teams they play this season made the playoffs last year. And one of them that didn't, Phoenix, probably will this year. So it's a tough stretch to start the season. And not having Draymond Green for any amount of training camp, and it doesn't sound like it's just going to be a one-day thing. He's going to have to, again, go through this protocol to get back. I don't know if he's going to be in any of these training camps. We don't know if he's going to be there to start the preseason. It seems unlikely right now. Saturday against Denver at Chase Center. So if the Warriors want to have a top 10 defense, they're going to have to do it by bringing back Draymond Green as quickly as possible and hoping that he's ready to go, because at his age, at 30 years old, again, the mental part of it is not the issue. It's the physical part of it. He hasn't played in 9 months. He needs to shake off the rust. Training camp, preseason, that's the time you get to shake off the rust. You want him to now do that against Kevin Durant on opening night instead? Now, I don't know if that's when he's going to come back. I don't know if he's going to be there for the two games in Sacramento. We don't know yet. But missing any amount of time is detrimental. And then there's James Wiseman, who hasn't played in a real basketball game in more than a year since November 2019. That was November 12th, 2019 against Oregon. That was the last basketball game he played. Since then, he's been working out. He's been in gyms. He's been playing pickup. Sure, he's been doing those things. But a real basketball game? No, he hasn't played one in more than a year. He's 19 years old. And even in those games he played, it was very clear that he needed work. He had a hard time guarding just very basic pick-and-roll concepts. couldn't switch onto the perimeter. Picked up a lot of fouls chasing blocks and biting on pump fakes. I mean, these are the things that the Warriors had hoped to iron out. I remember talking to Jaron Collins about what James Wiseman's role is going to be for an article that I wrote for TheMercuryNews.com, and he basically said training camp was the time to stress test Wiseman and see what it is that he can do. The Warriors, if Wiseman misses a substantial amount of his training camp, won't have that opportunity to put Wiseman through that stress test and figure out what it is that he can do and what kind of role that he's going to play. So is he going to be the opening night starter? This hurts his chances to do that. How do the Warriors know if they can play him in drop coverage, or if they need to play him in drop coverage, or if they can open up the playbook and let him guard on the perimeter? They don't know. They don't know if he can switch. They don't know what he can do. They have no idea. They haven't seen it. So they're going to hope to get him back for maybe some of training camp, or at least these preseason games, to do something with no stakes. Because the stakes are high this year, people. And every game matters that much more when instead of playing 82 games, you're playing 72. And missing the playoffs, even without Klay Thompson, and despite these coronavirus tests, is inexcusable this year. And part of making the playoffs is going to be having one of the best defenses in the NBA. And not being able to plug Wiseman in the middle of that. And not having Draymond Green for a very formative time for this group is going to hurt the Warriors' chances of putting together a top 10 defense. Coming up, why the Warriors might pass on giving Steph Curry a max extension. But first, let's talk about Headspace. For those of you who have heard the podcast before, you know that I can get myself riled up sometimes, that I can come in strong with a hot take or something that's bothering me with the Warriors or the NBA in general, and I can bring that kind of stress onto myself a lot. And so a few years ago, I wanted to start meditating, and I turned to the first name in meditation apps, and that's Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is the one and only meditation app advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. If you're overwhelmed, Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. If you need help falling asleep, Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by, and for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Take it from me and from my experience. I started with Headspace, and I haven't stopped using Headspace. It not only teaches you how to meditate, and by the way, it's not as difficult as you might think. If you think, hey, my mind is just too busy, I'm not one of these people who can meditate, that's not what it's about. It gives you a step-by-step walkthrough. It starts with beginning easy levels. It doesn't ask you to turn off your brain for 20 minutes at a time. It really does give you the best approach to mindfulness and meditation, and you'll be able to use it for years like I have. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. Listen to Locked On Warriors every day as they break down a different key question facing the Warriors as group workouts begin this week in training camp. Later on today's show, I will talk about Kelly Oubre's shooting, three-point shooting. But I want to get to the Steph Curry extension stuff, because talking with us yesterday on the media Zoom call after the first day of training camp, Steph said that he wants to be a Warrior for the rest of his career in regards to a question about whether or not he'd sign the full 3-year extension. So Steph is eligible for up to 3 years that could pay him up to $155.7 million and an extension that would start in the 2022-23 season. So he's got 2 more years left on this contract, and then he can sign an extension that would add 3 more years onto the end of that contract. Now, a lot of people took that news and ran with the part about him saying that he wanted to be a Warrior for the rest of his career. That, to me, wasn't the news of his availability. We knew that already. We knew Steph wanted to finish his career with the Warriors. To me, what the takeaway was how much he talked about his place on the Warriors' salary cap. And the fact of that a star player of his caliber was so aware of the salary cap aspect of what this extension could be. And that's part of the conversations that he's having with Bob Myers in this Warriors front office. That he could sign for an additional 3 years and $155.7 million. He could just put that in his pocket. But he wants to know the ins and outs first. How can I sign this extension, and can you still build a championship roster around me if I sign this extension? How much money do I have to leave on the, and if not, how much money do I have to leave on the table for you to build a championship roster around me? That's what they're talking about right now. That's the sort of thing Tim Duncan did in San Antonio in the twilight of his career. Right? If he doesn't take less money in the last few years of his career, the Spurs don't build a roster that goes to the finals in 2013 and 2014. Tim Duncan doesn't win another ring in 2014 if he doesn't take less money. So I think that is part of Steph Curry's thinking. Now, to dive into what this extension, a max extension, would look like. Again, Curry, 2 years left on this current contract, expires for the 2022. But if you were to sign the extension, he would get paid $48 million when he's 34 years old, $51.9 million when he's 35 years old, $55.8 million when he's 36 years old. That's a lot of money, and Steph Curry has earned every penny of it, but it's a lot of money to pay a 36-year-old point guard. $55.8 million. That's going to make it nearly impossible for the Warriors to build a championship roster around him. They will. They will never have cap space as long as that extension has been signed for. But if he forgoes the extension and enters free agency in 2022, he could still be re-signed with bird rights. And the Warriors would have a path. All they have to do is shed one salary, and Andrew Wiggins, a Klay Thompson, a Draymond Green, and they would have a reasonable path to signing a guy like Bradley Beal in 2022 if he becomes a free agent then instead of next year. James Harden becomes a free agent in 2022. But that to me seems unlikely. It seems unlikely to me that Steph would not sign any extension whatsoever. Especially because there's no guarantee that the Warriors would be able to create cap space that year anyway. And to do so, they would have to get rid of one of their core players right now anyway. But let's look at that next year, 2023. What if Steph signed a one-year extension that takes him through that 2022-23 season, pays him $48 million a year when he's 34 years old, and then enters free agency in 2023? The Warriors would have up to $36 million in cap space to spend on a free agent class that includes LeBron James, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, and several other players. Now, if I'm the Warriors, that to me is interesting. Andrew Wiggins comes off the books that year. And you can, and if Steph Curry also comes off the books that year, they will have room to go get one of those guys. And then you can always re-sign Steph Curry using his bird rights after you bring in one of those players. Now we're talking about something interesting. If you add at that point, Joel Embiid will be 28 years old. If you add a 28-year-old Joel Embiid smack dab in the middle of his prime to a 35-year-old Steph Curry, that could be what the Warriors need. That could be the bit of flexibility that they need to get Steph Curry one more ring and extend this window. That's got to be part of the conversation that Steph Curry and the Warriors are having. It would not shock me if Steph Curry passed up the full 3-year max. He can have it if he wants it. The Warriors will give it to him if he demands it. But he doesn't have to. And after launching Curry Brand this year, that's not nothing. How much money he can get from that could more than make up for anything that he leaves on the table with the Warriors. All of this stuff matters. So it would not shock me if Steph Curry didn't take that full 3-year extension. And if he wanted to help the Warriors remain flexible so that he, like Tim Duncan did, can win another championship in the twilight years of his career. Coming up, we get to our daily training camp question next, this on Kelly Oubre shooting. But first, let's talk about Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. These easy-to-take 1.5-ounce packages are easy to put in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, or in your golf bag to power through the back nine, or just put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy, but you're not going to get that crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Plus, it comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. So how does Built Go work so well? Well, Built Go combines an energy gel with a collagen protein, a fast-absorbing protein that's easy on the digestive system. The collagen protein promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better and feel better. So visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Every day here this week, I'm going to touch on a key question facing the Warriors and one of the Warriors players in training camp. And today I want to talk about Kelly Oubre, who the Warriors acquired with the traded player exception in the wake of Klay Thompson's Achilles tear. And immediately we wonder how he's going to fit in with the Warriors, right? He's going to be able to slash. He's going to be able to score. Defensively, he's made improvements over the course of his career. And last year in Phoenix, he averaged 18.7 points on 45% shooting, 35% from three-point range. Now, he's going to have to increase those efficiencies if he's going to be the number two scorer in Golden State, right? This is going to be a key part of what the Warriors are looking at in training camp. Who is the number two scorer next to Steph Curry? And I think Oubre's got the inside track just because he's got that scorer's mentality. I think you could also say Andrew Wiggins, but I think Wiggins is going to be more comfortable sliding back into that tertiary role. Oubre, I think, wants that secondary scoring role, would thrive in that secondary scoring role if he can be efficient. The key question to me is whether or not that three-point shot is real. 35% on 5.5 three-point attempts per game last year was the highest mark of his career. The year before that, 32% from three-point range. The year before that, 34%. His second year in the league, 29%. His first year in the league, 31.6%. So it's been all over the place. And it's never been higher than 35%, a career high last year. His free throw percentages are about average. He's a 78% career free throw shooter, which that's not the mark of an elite three-point shooter. So the key question for the Warriors is whether or not last year's 35% was a mark of improvement or an anomaly. Because if he falls back to a 32-33% three-point shooter, that's going to be really detrimental for not only Oubre, but the Warriors' spacing overall. And Steve Kerr has admitted himself. Kelly Oubre, Andrew Wiggins, they're about average three-point shooters in today's NBA. One of them needs to take a step up. Eric Paschal also is one of these guys that needs to take a step up. I don't know where the three-point shooting comes from outside of Steph Curry now. Kent Bazemore has even been hit or miss. Brad Wanamaker is solid. But in that starting lineup, where does the spacing come from? Where does the three-point shooting come from? And then if Oubre or Wiggins are anything less than average, now we're talking about opponents playing off of them, giving them the three-point shot so that they go ahead and double Steph or guard against slashing Wiggins and Oubre and stuff like that. Guard against, build a wall in front of the Steph Curry, Draymond Green pick and roll. Defend the lob to Chris or Wiseman. If all of a sudden teams start playing off of those guys and guarding all these other things, then that would dramatically hurt Golden State's half-court offense. That's what's at stake here. That's what they're trying to figure out in training camp. We'll find out. Preseason starts Saturday. I'm sure we'll hear more from guys like Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins over the course of the week. But that is one of the key questions facing the Warriors as group workouts start this week. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thank you to Headspace and to Built Go for sponsoring the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.